You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
At least Mike, Matt is at that darn day job of his getting in the way again, but he says he's going to be here later. Hopefully he will. So I'm going to fly solo here on this first segment. And we have our friends from Airfoil in studio. We have Tony Onofro, who's going to be talking hot tech trends. And calling in from New York, New York, so nice they named it twice, is Tim Moynihan. How you doing, Tim?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Well, I can't complain. It's even warm here. I don't know. I think you guys are getting really hit hard with snow and whatnot in New York, right?
The worst of it is over. It's a nice day today, but there's probably more snow on the horizon.
So, ah.
Got to keep the winter clothes out.
Gosh, I know. I'm all wintered out. When I was young, I could never understand why all these old people went to Florida. Now I get it, you know? So,
yeah, they're smart.
Yes, that would be the word. So, speaking of smart, we have some smart topics here we're going to be talking about, tech trends. You guys are going to be working this tag team. Now, you can't touch each other. We do touch each other electronically for one to go in for the other and stuff like that, right? So, but we're going to talk about, in this first segment, Tim is the editorial director and Tony is the technical operations supervisor. Let's start off with, what does that mean?
Well, that means that everything that has a screen or a button, I'm responsible for making sure it works all the time. But I have wear a lot of hats at Airfoil, and it's a lot of fun.
At least it just gets the most out of you, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Never boring.
Okay. And then, of course, Tim, we know you're an old, who'd you write for? Wired, wasn't it? You used to write for Wired?
Yeah, I wrote for Wired, and before that I wrote for PC World, CNET, a lot of the tech publications. It's been a topic of interest for a long time.
Okay. So we're going to focus the conversation today on your big three-part blog series that the two of you are working on, right?
Yeah.
Okay. AI, machine learning, and autonomous driving. Is it the driving part or the car part?
The driving and the car part kind of together. Really, we're focusing on kind of the impacts that these changes are going to have as we go forward into the future, what we're going to see, and some of the eventualities we need to consider before they become problems.
Okay. So who's playing what role? Then are you coming up with all the great ideas and Tim's writing them? Are you writing them together or what are you doing?
Well, we write them together. Tim kind of edits me down into a reasonable amount of stuff just because I have a tendency to go on and on.
Okay. So let's talk about, the one that probably gets the least amount of notoriety, publicity, is artificial intelligence. It's the one that's dominating everything today. And it's running behind the scenes, Skynet and all that. Everybody keeps talking about when is it going to go sentient and the robots are going to take over. I've heard a lot of pro and con that's never really going to happen. It's a great movie plot, but that's as far as it goes. But what's your thoughts on AI?
Well, we could spend all day kind of talking whether or not there ever will be a singularity. But really what our blog topic talks about is, what is it that we have to watch out for as things change and as, engineers are sitting at a computer and designing these systems that we're all going to rely on. What are the things that we have to watch out for? What are the worries and the problems that are inherent in the process of creating something that is, it's going to run by itself almost, unwatched. And so one of the things that we talk about in the blog is that there are biases that are inherent in every person, whether it be racial bias or personal bias. And those things can be captured and reinforced through AI and machine learning. You're creating a system that's going to take a set of data and crunch that down into a decision-making algorithm. And if there is data in there that's already biased, you've got to watch out for that because it'll just be reinforced over and over again. And instead of solving the problem by creating something that's more fair, you're just creating something that's reinforcing institutional biases.
You used a word that a lot of people are hearing and don't understand, algorithms. Why don't you explain exactly what that is? Because that's essentially how Google and all the search engines operate, but it's mathematical equations, right?
Yeah, it's basically a choice. If you think of like a flow chart, if you present it with a question, and depending on how the answer, you move to the next question and the next question, the next question, until you get an outcome.
Okay. So what are your thoughts, Tim? What do you think about AI?
Well, I think it's, you know, what Tony was talking about is symptomatic of what is happening in terms of technological evolution. You know, we've gone through in the past 10 years, I would say, a huge hardware revolution, right? We've had computers get smaller and smaller, smartphones, everybody's using them, they're communicating through them. That has gone into, you know, voice control and things like Alexa and Google Home and Siri. Now we're getting into stuff that's really conceptual. There's a real barrier to what consumers can understand, and honestly, anybody other than the company that makes it can understand. So these things are also getting more pervasive in terms of our human nature because, you know, things like AI and machine learning, they're built to replace human decision making or make it more efficient. So I think one of the great points Tony makes in his blog is that it becomes an issue of trust, right? If you don't know exactly what's happening in that little black box, you have to be able to trust it. And sometimes fear gets in the way of that. And as marketers, as PR professionals and marketers, and consumers, we should be asking the right questions about those technologies. You know, as smartphones have showed us, there are side effects to technological development. You know, people sometimes get more detached because they're always communicating through devices. So this is another stage of that. It's a leap forward where it's like now these computers and these smarter algorithms and machine learning and artificial intelligence might be making some decisions that people find scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you, by extension, as we move into this autonomous vehicle space, where AI will be dominating, what sort of impact is that going to have?
One of the things that I think most people maybe have heard of that kind of represents this problem is called the trolley problem, which basically is you're in charge of a switch, and there's a track, and there's a train coming down the track, and there are five people on one side of the track, and the train is coming towards them, there's also a switch that you could throw to switch over to, someone has just one person on the track. And so the question is, do you throw the switch and save the five people or kill one? And so basically our computers are going to be having to make that decision every day, thousands of times a day. And it won't necessarily always be between five and one. It may just be between two different people, and who makes that decision and how that whole thing comes about is going to be a big problem that we're going to have to solve.
Tim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, programming morality goes
like
back
that,
to what
yes.
Tony was saying earlier, where, you know, at the root level, any algorithm, any system is going to have the flaws of the person that created it, right? So it's a nebulous area to think about where, you know, the humans are flawed, and machines aren't supposed to be flawed. So where does that meet in the middle? Like what happens there? These are the communication issues that we should be, putting forth as marketing professionals, as PR professionals, and really creating a synergy with readers where it's like, okay, we're worried about the same things as you are. And asking those tough questions and trying to flesh out those problems.
Let me ask you a question. It's actually one of them, my bullet point I have in front of me, which I think is thought-provoking, is how do marketers that represent companies at the forefront of these technologies earn their audience's trust? That's kind of where you guys come in, right? Who wants to take that one?
Go ahead, Tim.
I can start. I don't think it's an easy answer. Unless Tony, do you have an easy answer for that one?
I don't.
Well, you have when we're out standing in the parking lot. What happened to that one? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Right.
That sense of trust is really important. Empathy is important. And, it loops back to what we were both talking about before, where, interpersonal communication is happening through machines more and more often. So that presents a layer of, that can be a trust barrier, where if you're not speaking to someone face-to-face, it's hard to empathize or gain trust from them. It's all text on a screen or a video on a screen. This takes it to another level where I think as humans, ultimately you have to be asking these companies questions, whether you're representing them or whether you're a potential customer of them, about, have they thought about whether these technologies will impact jobs and, things like one of the pieces in the series that Tony's writing is about Bitcoin and blockchain. There was just a huge drop in value from Bitcoin, and that's harder to understand when it's sort of this conceptual, cryptocurrency. So it's those things. We're all in this learning process, and I think as marketers, we are in the proper spot to be able to, translate these things, ask the hard questions the consumers might be thinking about, and then, convey that information to them and try to ease concerns if we can ease them.
Oops. Sorry, I just bumped the microphone there. Go ahead. Do you have any thoughts on that,
Tom? Sure. I think trust is really something that's going to become more and more of a value for brands, making sure that they have a data strategy, that they are protecting people's data, that they're protecting their clients. That's something that a message that we need to be able to help them to be able to get out.
Okay, we're dwelling now about 90 seconds left, so we have to get the plug in here. So let's talk a little bit about airfoil. We've got people all warmed up on this. They probably want to get more information. What's the best way to do that?
Well, you can go to airfoilgroup.com and click on our blog and take a look at the first of the blog series and watch for the other two parts.
And I'm looking at Harmony. I could pick that up, that series, if you like. Post it on my website if you want. That's a nod. Okay, that's a good. So we got everybody all excited. They're going to want to read this. And if they want to reach out to you guys individually, is that possible?
Sure. My Twitter handle's @ Tony Onofrio.
Tim. And I like email. It's Moynihan, Moynihan, @ airfoilgroup.com.
Okay. And, if Matt was here, he'd say this is Podcast Detroit. We're done with this segment. We'll be right back, and we hope you continue to join us.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan, and as soon as he sits down, it'll be Matt Rausch. I'll give him a chance to catch his breath here. That day job got in his way again, but he's here now. So Matt's here. Lean in, Matt. I think you're
Hello.
All mic'd up.
Good afternoon.
All right. There we go. Whew. That 1 minute in between doesn't give us much time to get stuff done. So I think we have on the line Kathleen Norton-Schock, yes?
Yes, you do. And how wonderful of you to use a line from Sheryl Sandberg to introduce me. Lean in there, Matt. Lean in.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about your podcast that you do with Nicole, Diva Tech Talk. And then I think we're going to get an update about Michigan Council of Women in Technology. Is that right?
That's true. And in fact, what we consider this monthly is your most official Women in Tech segment, although, of course, you guys also have others. But this is the most constant of them, and those are typically some of the constant things we discuss. So thanks so much for having us on.
Sure.
Diva Tech Talk is going great guns. We since the last time I spoke to you, I know the last time I mentioned that we had Mamtha Chamarthy, who is the chief digitalization officer for $45 billion company called ZF, taking that company from the third industrial revolution into the fourth industrial revolution on every continent with a very lean team. So that was our podcast 61. Then we had Melissa Kennedy, podcast 62. Melissa's whole raison d'etre is to help every person, every company understand that there is not a human being on the planet who cannot innovate. She teaches that. She's written books on it. And we happen to be lucky enough to podcast her. And then since I've spoken to you guys, the next podcast that we published, and I know you're going to be talking and probably already have about your Internet of Things conference coming up very quickly, Mike, that you're doing with Cloud Tech One. But on March 6th, we published our episode 63 with Jill Majorano, Director of North American Sales for a little company called Cisco, which those of us who know the industry know is a giant in the area of cloud technology. So that was one of our more popular, I laughed with Jill about it. It became one of our most popular podcasts from the perspective of LinkedIn, LinkedIn activity. We have over 10,000 people who have looked at my little post on LinkedIn, and Jill and I are smiling about it together because we realize it's because if you put our two networks together, they would be strong and out there in the cloud. So we do recommend that anybody who'd like to talk, to listen to a podcast to inspire girls and women to join the tech field, but who don't feel particularly techie, listen to Jill's, because she came straight out of an undergraduate degree in marketing, moved into sales at Altel and then a number of other telecommunications companies, and never looked back. And she's now worked for Cisco for 12 years, adores it because it is a great company from many perspectives, but certainly for women to work for. But she shares an awful lot of lessons, lessons about feeling comfortable in her own skin, balancing her family, balancing everything she can to be as successful as she is. And 10,000 people looking at it on LinkedIn, one would hope translated to quite a few listens. If Nicole was on the phone, she'd jump in with that statistic, but she is not. So you can find all these at www.vivatechtalk.com. And just to give you guys an idea of what we'll be doing next, again, I know your IoT conference is coming up soon, Mike. Yes. And Dale, who just wandered into the room, said to me, did you see this great article Mike did about IoT and cybersecurity? And I said, that is karma, because this coming Wednesday, we will be broadcasting a podcast with Holly Rollo, who is the senior vice president of a tiny company called RSA, which is wholly owned now by Dell. But in my CA days, I used to look at RSA as the enemy because they are probably one of the strongest companies in cybersecurity. So that'll be published this coming Wednesday at www.divatechtalk.com. And then after that, we have Jennifer Charters, CIO of the First Internet Bank, Ally. Chris Rozewski, who heads the council, she's the executive director for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. And then a woman I think you guys would love to meet. Her name is Ebony Max, and she's the manager of digital analytics for GTB, but we all used to think of that as Team Detroit. And that's she works almost exclusively on the Ford account.
Yeah, that's the Ford advertising group, or mostly Ford anyway, right?
Well, yeah, Toby Barlow has left, so I asked her if the sense of humor was still there, and then she proceeded to sit in my little studio, which is in my dining room, and crack jokes. But very serious,
all right,
very driven, relatively young woman, and doing exciting, exciting things. So Diva Tech Talk is alive and very active, and we're excited to be coming to your event, Mike, on April 4th, the Internet of Things event, because there's a whole bunch of women who will be there, including the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, who will have a table. And I can't tell you how thrilled they are. I got a call this morning from Chris Rozewski saying, yes, we're coming. Yes, I'm excited. Yes, I talked to Mike. So really, really good news. So do you want me to segue into what's going on at MCWT?
Yes, please.
All right. So for those of the, and I can't imagine that anybody in your listening audience will not have heard of the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. We are in our 16th year. We are dedicated to the proposition that all girls and women should join STEM particularly those in our great state of Michigan, so we can really literally turn this into the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. So MCWT does a lot for girls and women of all ages. And coming up very, very quickly, you guys asked me about this on the last podcast, and I told you the wrong thing. We're going to have 10 fifth through eighth grade girls camps this summer, not eight, but 10, which means that we'll be serving about 500 girls. And registration is already opened on our website at www.mcwt.org. And we have over 100 girls already registered. So if anybody out there has a fifth through eighth grader who they would like to spend a really exciting week this summer, it's going to be all over Southeast Michigan. And we have several in the western part of Michigan. Please go to our website to register. The girls have a great time. They learn about robots. They learn about HTML. They learn about careers. They have a great week, and it's during the summer, and most little girls have off during the summer. So there's a little bit of a fee, but not much, mainly to register, and they'll also get exposed to some amazing, amazing volunteers, because our volunteers come and talk about their careers, and they're in all the big companies. They're not just in the automotive companies. They're probably, they represent every single vendor, IBM, Symantec, Oracle, Microsoft, you name it. We have people who belong to MCWT who represent that community too.
Yeah, so and I can remember, Kathleen, I can remember stopping in on a couple of those camps just to get pictures for the IT report. And I mean, the sense of excitement in the room was really something. These girls essentially are writing code to program a robot and make it do certain things. They come in not knowing, you know, having the least idea how to do that, and they walk out feeling very confident. It's very cool.
They do. That's one of the things we do. We've expanded the camp beyond the last time you were there. And of course, LTU is just one of the 10 locations. But robots are still a piece of it. But websites have become very, very hot. You know, we run that big website contest that we talked about maybe six episodes ago, right, for older girls for high school. And then we open that up to middle school. And that's, there's a lot of, you know, because website tools have become more accessible, you would not believe the sophistication of what some of these girls create in their couple of days on their 5-day week. So that's really, really exciting news. The next thing is the Girls Are IT is going strong. We do that with Wayne State, and that's coming up on April 19th. Our next ConnectNet, we were having monthly networking kinds of meetings. We did not have one in the month of March because we were so busy, but we have one coming up midway through May, and our speaker will be David Segura, who is the CEO of Vision Pro.
Oh, sure.
And for me, that's fantastically karmic as well, because right around that time, we will also be publishing a podcast for Diva Tech Talk with Christine Rice, the recently married Christine Rice. She finally gave in and got married, who is the president of Vision IT and Vision Pro. And she runs those two companies with David and has for 20 years. So that podcast will be coming out on Diva Tech Talk middle of May. That's one of the regional podcasts we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And then David will also be our guest and speaker at our ConnectNet. And then on May 31st, we have the Executive Connection Summit, which will be at the Detroit Marriott. And I believe that registration for that will open around April 2nd. So lots going on as usual at MCWT. We will be graduating our Ignite class on the 18th. Ignite is our mentoring program for mid-career girls and women, although some women, you know, who are returning to work in their 50s have become Ignite scholarship winners or Ignite members. And what we do is we pair them with a mentor. They work with the mentor for at least a year. The mentors don't have to be women. We have some male mentors as part of our Ignite program. And they will be graduating. We just graduated the group that we did with Grand Circus in Western Michigan. And now we'll be graduating the group from Southeast Michigan, April 18th, and then ready to start a new one. So again, www.mcwt.org has a tremendous amount of programs and events and a lot of value, of course, that we bring to the community.
Kathleen, what's the membership of MCWT now?
A few thousand. You know, it's an interesting question, right? Paid formal members, you know, individual members, maybe 800. But then every single, we have over 100 sponsor companies.
Sure.
Every one of those sponsor companies for free, not for free, because they pay to sponsor, you know, they're the biggest motivator. They're the biggest funding source for the over $1 million worth of scholarships we've given away over the last 10 years, as you know. And every single one of them has at least 20 or 30 people who work for them who are de facto members because they sponsor. So we're in the thousands. Our mailing list is over 10,000. Our LinkedIn site is only about 800 to 900. But on Facebook, for instance, which I, of course, run, we touch over 2,800 people a week, even when we're not doing promoted posts. When we do promoted posts, I just sent something over to Chris, which was why I was talking to her. We touch literally in December, we touch 17,000 people in the state of Michigan with our message. And that was just because I did a few promoted posts and talked about some of the stuff we're doing, and boom, there you go. So MCWT has become a little bit of a force to be reckoned with. And of course, it keeps cycling out women doing leadership in other areas, right? We have Marcy Cleghorn, who used to be our president, who's now president of Ford's Mobility. Mm-hmm. We have Rosemary Bayer, right? One of our founders, who's now running for state senate. We have Andy Karaboutis, who is now the chief information officer of GRID. Right. We have Terry Takai, who is in semi-retirement, but she won't stay retired for long, doing the Digital Government Association, the entire country's association for digital government executives, having been, of course, the CIO for the state of California and then for the United States Department of Defense. Kind of makes sense she'd be doing that.
Oh, that's that little small outfit. Huh? Yeah. Geez, that's not a big job.
And that's the tip of the iceberg for MCWT, right? ECS alone is amazing. We will have last year we had a woman CIO from Symantec, a woman CIO from Oracle. We had top executives from almost every major company, particularly the women top executives, but also some of the guys on the stage talking about diversity. We were the first people to get Jim Hackett as a speaker 3 days after he became CEO of Ford. And what did he want to talk about? Diversity in hiring, diversity in his return on investment for Ford, diversity in his innovation. That's what MCWT stands for. And so I recommend your audience think about coming and join us. It's not very expensive, and we're a great group of people to know. We're also kind of fun, right?
Kind of fun, yeah. Yes.
MCWT, kind of fun. I think you could do better as a slogan, but that's okay. So,
actually, you know what our mission is.
Yes, very much so. All right. So yeah, I was going to say
more catchy than that.
Yeah. I know you do the annual gala, which is more of a techies ball type thing. Get dressed up and go out and have a fancy night. But do you still do just an annual meeting?
You're
going to
ask me about golf.
Yes, I'm going to ask you about golf.
Yes, of course, golf is coming up in July, but I plan to talk about that on next month's podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let you get away with
it. Because we're not opening registration. That gets sold out literally in 3 weeks. So, I mean, the fact is we try to stay a little quiet until we get a little closer. But if you guys would like to mark your calendar, July 23rd would be an interesting day for you to have off, Matt.
Okay. We'll look into that.
I'll drive the drink cart.
Watching me golf is highly amusing. I can tell you that. All right. Kathleen Norton-Sharp.
Well, I never go to golf. I just go to talk to everybody and, more importantly, listen. Because last year we had an amazing, it was so broad and so exciting, and there were so many, and we had girls there too showing some of their stuff at lunch, and it's just, we are who we are.
Okay.
And of course, every event we ever do is well organized.
All right. Thanks, Kathleen. We have come to the end of the segment. Thank you for being with us and speaking about Diva Tech Talk in the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. For right now, this is Matt Rausch
and Mike Brennan,
and you are listening to the M Squared TechCast.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
How are we supposed to come out of that?
I don't know.
It's Matt Rausch.
You ought to hear the conversation that goes on in our little one-minute spots between segments.
I think the Lawrence Tech ads are much more edifying.
You're paid for it, too. Right?
Yeah, right.
So we got to get to them. Okay, Terry Bean. Gosh, what do we say about Terry Bean?
Networker.
That's polite, right?
Networker par excellence. The first guy to talk to me about social media back when they were new. I mean, he knows his stuff.
He does. And he's actually doing me a gigantic favor on the show that I can't wait for it to get over because it's driving me crazy. But it's coming up here on April 4th. So on April 5th, I'm going to stay drunk all day long. I'm guaranteeing it. So Terry is going to be running the augmented reality, virtual reality track, which actually includes a workshop. But since you're on top of this, and why don't you explain it?
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a big show, the IoT Tech Connect. I'm sure you've mentioned it a couple of times on the show.
I won't
go into too many details about what's actually going on through April 4th, but I will tell you what's going on in the AR-VR session. Mike alluded to it earlier. For those not in the know, it's the augmented reality and virtual reality piece. We've got some good people lined up, man. We're going to be bringing in a lot of knowledge, a lot of information, and kind of some updates of what's going on in the space. But equally important to me, if not more important, is the opportunity to put some of the gear on and be magically transported into different worlds. So I'm excited about both of those things, both of those things. We've been fortunate. We're working with the VR-AR Association here in Detroit that's led by David Pollack and Stephen Dantas, who are two excellent gentlemen. David's actually going to be our first speaker, and he's going to kind of give a lay of the land, as it were, a 20-minute overview as to what's going on in that space. And session one will wrap up with two other talks. One will be about 10 things that are going on specifically in AR, and then 10 things that are specifically going on in VR, virtual reality. And Moody Matten is going to talk about AR. And, you know, if I can't find somebody better, gentlemen, I'll be the guy holding down the VR side of it after my year experience in that space last year. Lots of cool stuff. We'll have a nice panel. There'll be a 45-minute panel moderated by our friend Steve Dantas, and we're going to have some pretty good guests. From your workplace, Matt Rausch.
Yeah.
You know Mark, don't you, over at the Collaboratory?
Yeah, Mark.
I can't really, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last. Is it Brucky?
Brucky, yeah. Mark Brucky is the director of the LTU Collaboratory. So that's the shameless plug, Bell. That is Lawrence Tech's Technology Business Accelerator, and we have jumped into VR and AR with both feet. And in fact, we are hosting the monthly meetings of Verara, which is the virtual reality augmented reality association of the Detroit chapter. I think the next meeting is the 27th of March from 6 to 8 p.m. roughly. They've got some great speakers coming in for that too.
Verara.
Yeah, so that'll be a good time. Verara. I haven't heard that. I've got a call scheduled with these guys to talk about the session coming up in an hour or so. So I'm going to break out that Verara. I'll be sure to report back as to how well that goes over.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if they'd like it, but that was how I pronounced it when I first saw it. So
I like it.
I went to the Detroit Auto Dealers Association meeting a few years back, and I referred to it as Dada. No. They were not impressed at all.
They don't like that. No, they don't. So it's got to be DADA with those guys. Yep, absolutely.
They have no sense of humor.
No, it says Dada. I can read it right there on your sign on the street.
There you go. They're not very humorous people. So serious salespeople.
Lacking humor.
Yes.
Yes. So in addition to Mark Brucky being on that panel, Brian Wassum is going to come in. He's going to talk about some of the legal and regulatory issues around AR and VR, which should be interesting. And Brad Pitzer, who's been in the AR and VR space since 1992. A lot of people didn't know that any of this stuff was going on back then, but VR in particular has very, very deep roots going all the way back to the late 50s. Franco Bevion from WeDo is going to be on that panel. And then we're looking to try and land a young lady from the company Pixo Group. So excited about that. Take another little break where people can go in and play with the tech some more. And then Adam Stogdill from Deep Canvas will be talking about some of the virtual reality apps that his company has created. Brad Pitzer will be talking about the AR apps that his company has been creating. And the purpose of this is to kind of demystify what actually has to happen for this type of development, because people are like, well, I really want that, but it's going to cost me $47 million. No, it's really not that cost prohibitive, and it's not that much different than getting most other apps developed. So we want to have those real world experiences. And then Mark's going to talk a little bit about the Collaboratory and what's going on there, because we want people to be able to get as immersed in these immersive worlds as possible. So really excited about that program. And then the gear is going to be there for most of the day and hopefully into the night. So if anybody's planning on sticking around for the VIP session, hopefully you can throw on a HoloLens or throw on a Oculus Rift or a HTC Vive. Because one thing that I've found is most people's experience, especially on the VR side, is they may have thrown on a Google Cardboard or a Samsung Gear or anything that's phone driven. And realistically there, you're looking at 360-degree photos. And you're like, oh yeah, well, I've done VR. Yeah, well, doing that compared to what's done from a high-end computer-generated VR experience is akin to driving a 2004 Saturn View in a brand new Maserati, right? Yeah, they're both cars, but they ain't the same darn thing by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, just the resolution. Yeah, just
demystify that too.
The resolution and the quality of the images is what's really striking, and also the way they can tie sound in, that kind of thing. I mean, if you just slap your cell phone into a Google Cardboard, I mean, it's cool, but it's sort of like standard definition TV from 1957 versus a 4K wraparound screen today. You know, it's that different. So
yeah, let me point that out too. That VIP reception from roughly 6 o'clock till 8:30. You pay for that ticket, and you get not only great cocktails, great networking, great food, great desserts, but you get the opportunity to play with the gear and a more, you know, instead of waiting in line for a long time where everybody else is trying it on, you can try it on right there during the reception. And in our next segment, we're also going to bring in the guy that's bringing in the drones. Matt Quinn from Great Lakes Drone Company is going to be there sharing that room with you guys for the morning session. And so you'll not only be able to play around with VR, AR, but you'll be able to see the swarm of drones. He won't actually be able to fly them in the room. But, you know, during the Olympics at the beginning, instead of having fireworks, they had the drone swarm that did the Olympic rings and things like that. That's what his company does.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, right? So it's amazing what kind of technology we're living in. I still don't have my jetpack, but I've actually seen some pretty good replications of jetpacks. And now there's single-person drones out there that you can go and fly around. So we're getting close to that jet timeline, ladies and gentlemen, and it's kind of an exciting time to be alive from a tech perspective.
I still want my Rosie the Robot maid. That's what I'm looking for.
You know? Retro. Now, Matt came in a flying car. Time. You know, he was over doing some LTU thing, and then so he flew in his flying car so he could get here in time.
Yeah, well, that was the Mayor Ken Sivers' State of the City in Southfield. So,
okay.
$200 million. spent in the city of Southfield this past year.
Is it still the center of it all?
Yes. Yeah, that's still the slogan.
Center of it all.
Thanks. Yep.
Southfield, yeah.
Absolutely. So I mean, it sounds like if you want to learn a whole lot about VR and AR, this for $20, you come into this thing for one day and you can do it. So
yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah,
and we feed you too. You can't beat that with a stick.
We got it locked down. Yeah, breakfast and lunch and holy cow. Yeah, you guys, we're going to have a little course on how to price an event.
Yeah.
You know, if you're losing money on the food alone, you're not doing something right. But,
yeah.
You know, gosh darn it, good for you guys for trying to get it exposed and get people aware of what's going on. Sometimes you got to give back to the community a little bit.
Yeah, well, we debated that ticket price, and I said $50 is probably more realistic. But we were afraid that would then be a barrier for a lot of folks. I go, $50. But, I mean, considering that most shows I ever get invited to, of course, I get in free as I'm pressed. But, I mean, the minimum ticket price I ever see is at least $50, right, man? Some of these shows are $500.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, so.
Yeah, $300-$400 is not out of the ordinary for, you know, for a trade show and a whole bunch of presentations from expert speakers and, you know, right. Yeah.
So. Michigan, the Growth Capital Symposium every spring, that's a $400 or $500 show there, you know, so.
Well, that's the venture capital guys.
Yeah, they have the dough, right?
Yeah, they got the money.
So, they got the dough. They don't spread it out to any of the companies that need it around here. Well, they've got the dough. Sorry.
Wait a minute. Okay. Well, yeah, and then the granddaddy of them, the really big one, the Chamber Mackinac show. I mean, geez, what's that up to now? Like $1,800 or something?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, well.
Well, then you got to rent a room up there for some flea bag motel for, what, $500 a night or something?
Us media freeloaders get in free. And I got to tell you, the last time I covered it, I actually stayed on the mainland.
Oh, yeah,
in a Mackinac Island or a Mackinac City hotel that was like $90 a night, you know, compared to what they, you know, gouge you for.
Well, I've been on my own dime for 18 years. Move. And so I covered it one time.
Yeah.
And I spent like $2,000 and I go, I just can't do the ROI on that.
It's just, you know,
it's just too much dough. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and they run the ferry boats late at night during the conference anyway. So you can, you can still stay late and you know, see your tax dollars at work.
Or
at play occasionally.
Or at play. Yes. You bring a video camera, you freak them all out, right? You know?
Don't point that thing at me.
Yeah, there you go. Heard that before.
Yep.
Let's tell once again that it's April 4th at the Troy Marriott. Your segment is in the Mediterranean room. Now, how avant-garde is that? Yes, but that's actually a pretty good-sized room. That's about 60 foot square, and that's not bad for a hotel kind of conference space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that Matt Quinn is listening. He's waiting for his segment. He's going to be there in the morning. He's from Great Lakes Drone Company. So we're going to have drones and VR and AR all in the same room. That's like the high-tech room for sure. And I think we're going to have a lot of traffic in there.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to April 4th almost as much as you're looking forward to April 5th.
No, probably not.
But great job putting this on.
Yeah, this has been my life since December. So I'm looking forward to getting my life back here, you know. But it's fun. And, you know, it's going to be great exposure for everybody concerned. It's hard to say how many people are going to come, but at $20, I can't see a downside. So if we don't have at least 500 folks there, then we haven't marketed right. But we just had DPTV is going to be pushing it out to their audience this week. And we just recruited the MCWT. They're going to push it out to their audience.
And you've got Tech 248 backing it. You've got the MEDC backing it. So, yeah, I think you'll probably do okay.
Oh, yeah. I think we'll do at least 500, maybe 1,000. Who knows? Then, of course, the VIP reception is going to be great, too. That's where the real power networking is going to take place. And we're encouraging everybody to. Now, that's not a $20 ticket. But then we're going to give you cocktails and food and chocolates and all this access to technology. How are we doing?
And I heard
time?
Parting gifts. I heard everybody gets a
parting gifts. Yes.
All right. So what's the give us the website of the event?
I made that up.
Give us the website of the event.
It's HTTPS. It's a secure website. No dubs, but it's IoTTechConnect.com. April 4th, Troy Marriott.
Be there or be
Square.
Out of the loop.
Yes.
All right. Thanks very much, Terry. Great
Internet
to talk to you again.
Thanks.
All right. Take it easy, Terry. Thanks for calling. Oh, yeah.
And we'll be right back in about a minute with Matt Quinn, who's been standing by. Going to be talking about Great Lakes Drone Company and what they're bringing to the party.
All right. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to the M-Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with the final segment today of the M Squared Tech Cast. What are we up to now? Number 120-something, right?
19 or 20. I'm okay. Not sure which. What? 120.
120. Okay.
Now, she would know that comes from Jessica.
Still no Jessica cam.
No.
We got to start an email campaign.
We do have cameras over there. We could focus them on her. And
those are camera holders. They're empty.
Oh, I thought those were like little cameras.
That's a camera.
Yeah. Ah, okay. That's a camera. Okay.
Well, this is great radio. I'm pointing at things in the studio and describing them.
we could turn that and it would shoot her from the side, you know? So, yeah, I like that. Oh, okay. Well, we should probably get back to the show now.
Yes.
All right.
As we stare at each other helplessly here. Okay.
How do we get out of
this?
We
have a guest. Yes, we have a guest who's taking us less seriously by the second.
Okay.
Matt
Quinn from Great Lakes Drone Company. He's actually works with Enrico, what do you call him? Enrico Suave?
Enrico Suave.
Yes. Yeah, Enrico right. Suave, a.k.a.
Enrico Suave.
Yeah.
Enrico Schaefer. Fine drone attorney from Traverse City.
Yes. So anyway, Matt actually works with Enrico's team. I did not know that. Because we originally had asked Enrico to help us with this, but then he's going skiing with his kids that weekend. Poor baby, right? So, but Matt courageously stepped in, and we're most appreciative. Thanks very much. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Great Lakes Drone Company and what you guys do?
Well, Great Lakes Drone Company is a Michigan-based business. We're located on the opposite side of the state from you guys over by the Benton Harbor, Kalamazoo area.
Okay.
We started back in 2016, and we started off like any other drone company probably starts off, you know, getting into real estate and everything. And then we kind of found our niche of doing all the strange and the weird and pretty much, you know, coming up with ideas for the out-of-box ideas. So then we got involved with Swarm Technology and doing drone light shows. So right now in the U.S., you pretty much have Intel and us that are authorized by the FAA to do drone light shows within the U.S. So we're authorized up to 200 drones simultaneous operated by one operator and computer system. Hmm. We recently were at the Super Bowl and introduced our new aerial LED advertising drone. Basically, it's a dual-sided full color LED display board that we can pretty much within our limits of our airspace authorizations throw up anywhere. And it's like 5 foot long and 26 inches high. And we can run ads at pretty much like any type of outdoor event, or even if you just want to get the attention of people driving down I-94, we can throw it outside and throw it up. And, you know, we can be up there at 200 feet, 400 feet, 75 feet right in the eye line to grab people's attention and advertise their brand or product. We've done some aerial delivery stuff. We've done some stuff with DOD and the state for testing for anti-drone technology. So pretty much anything and everything drone-related we do.
I like that mini Goodyear blimp thing. You didn't mention that to me before. You'll have to bring that one to the show and have it sit there on a table so people could take a look at it. It'd be kind of cool.
Oh yeah, we'll have all of our toys over there for everybody to look at. So
yeah,
you know, right now we have an ongoing missing persons search with local public safety that we're assisting with. One of our crews in Illinois found a missing dog yesterday for some missing dog owners. So we keep fairly busy.
Yeah, because you do the serious stuff like the agricultural crop analysis, the realtor services, that kind of thing. But then you also kind of have the softer side or the silly side where you do things like make drones make heart shapes and words and stuff. I've seen that stuff on your website. So did you?
Yeah, we do a variety of different stuff.
Did you start out? I mean, what's been the advances? How long have you been in business and what have the advances been like in the technology in that time?
Well, I mean, we started off in 2016 and
a lot of change in 2 years
with, Yeah. With the technology advances just in the past 2 years, from a capital investment standpoint, I mean, you can't even in the drone industry, there's hardly any companies out there that can truly keep up with having the, you know, the best products out there and the most recent products out there, just because it's changing so quickly. You know, when we first opened up, you had some, you know, I think it was like Phantom 3s were out, and you had the Inspire 1s, and you had the Matrice 100s from a DJI product line. Well, now we're at the Matrice 600s, we're in the Inspire 2s, and we now have the Matrice 200 series out, and now they're going to be releasing the Phantom 5 series, all within the past 2 years. So it's very rapidly changing as they develop more technology. I mean, we recently rolled out our new underwater drone a couple weeks ago as part of the search efforts that we were working on. So we have underwater drone technology now. So,
and that does what exactly? It goes underwater, obviously, yes. But I mean, beyond that, what do you use it for?
So the underwater drone has a couple different features. One, it has live feed 4K. So it's just like an aerial drone in which you have like a 4K camera system. You have a live feed that you see on your screen. You can move it around left, right, you know, dive down, come back up and whatnot. It is tethered. However, you know, the technology hasn't really advanced a whole lot to actually send radio signals through the water yet. But I see that changing in the near future. But we also have sonar and sonar mapping. So in July of this year, we will have our new surface drone that is completely radio controlled, which will be automatic, in which we can do complete sonar bed mappings of the terrain underneath a lake or a river or whatnot, which will be on an autonomous platform. So that'll be coming out in July.
We'll have to get you to run line 5 up there in the Mackinac Straits.
That's just what I was thinking. Have the people at Michigan Tech or Enbridge been in touch about this? Because I know they've got – Michigan Tech has developed an underwater submersible sort of drone system with one of the professors there. But I'm not sure if it's as advanced or if it's 4K, you know, like what you're talking about. It would be interesting to run one of those up and down that pipeline and just see what's going on. So,
right.
Yeah, and go ahead.
I was going to say there's a lot of manufacturers out there. I mean, that's one of the big things right now is like everybody's trying to grab their niche and grab their space. You know, we're more of a service provider, but through some of my other business aspects with like Raptor 300 and with our international work that we do and stuff that you're talking about, like the agricultural aspects and stuff like that, you know, we now do hold some patents on some technology that we'll be releasing later this year. So it's been quite a rapid growth, and my head's still spinning every single day, but we're making it work.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the work you're doing for like agriculture and land use. My son spent 2 summers when he was in college working for the Michigan Tech Research Institute in Ann Arbor. That's the research center that was opened up by Michigan Technological University way up north, so they'd have sort of a toehold here in the Detroit area. But they used, and he worked on some of these things, they used pretty good-sized fixed-wing drones to fly back and forth to do work for Washtenaw County to just measure changes in land use over years. So talk a little bit about that work.
Yeah, so there's a lot of work going on in the drone space for like GIS grade mapping. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to what your end goal is. You know, one of the biggest reasons that we don't use the fixed wing platform specifically here in the U.S. is because the beyond visual line of sight rules. Fixed wing is great when you look at battery life and overall, you know, flight time and distance. But in all reality, you know, there's only a few companies that actually have beyond visual line of sight to waiver authorizations within the FAA. And there's still a lot of safety concerns about flying stuff that you can't necessarily see anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, typically we stick with, you know, the drone platforms. Now, obviously, out in Sri Lanka, we have a little bit different regulatory aspect in which we can use the fixed wings and do a little bit more beyond visual line of sight aspects. And same thing with Morocco. But when we're looking at some of those aspects, you know, whether or not, you know, we're doing GIS grade mapping and we're just grabbing the imagery, stitching it together and putting it on overlays and so forth. You know, the nice thing is it's all real time. I'll give you an example. We recently did a job for a local municipality here in Michigan in which, you know, there's a big debate on where the current high ordinary watermark was of Lake Michigan in relation to the township municipality ordinance setback regulations. So what we did was we did what we call ground control points. That's what makes our maps, you know, accurate within millimeters. Set up a bunch of ground control points. We flew the aerial grid and everything, stitched everything together, and then took the elevation data from the DEQ that was given to us and stuff, did a topographical map and laid out where that lies compared to where the current erosion aspect lies, so that they could make further, you know, planning aspects of where they should actually have their setbacks for future building within the township.
I notice in the part of the webpage where you talk about your underwater surface services, you talk about lost item searches. Can you tell us anything interesting that you've been asked to find underwater?
Well, the underwater service is actually something new that we just rolled out in the past couple months.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we haven't really, you know, actually, you know, that webpage was actually updated like a week ago.
Got to get the ice off the lake first.
Yeah, we haven't even started marketing it yet. However, I can tell you that I was out in one of the lakes yesterday doing some training, doing some testing, training a couple of our other people on the new platform and everything and stuff. And we found a wonderful toilet for you in the lake. So, you know, you're...
Kind of redundant, though, you know. So.
Yeah, how did it get there? Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah, of all the places to not need a toilet.
The fish. It's for the fish.
Oh, okay. So. That's what it is. Okay. So, sorry, Charlie. Anyway, but I mean, there's the potential for this for like shipwrecks, and somewhere out in the middle of Lake Michigan, there's an airplane that went down years and years ago that they never found. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there to find.
This Civil War gold. That's the latest thing. Reality TV plays, you know. So, but anyway, we digress. So, yeah, I mean, that has a lot of interesting elements there. I mean, like you say, how small of an object do you think you'd be able to locate, though? I mean, plus you're going to get down near the mud, and that's going to stir the mud up, right? So, I mean, how are you going to deal with all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get down there, I mean, one thing that we've learned through training and everything and stuff is when you're getting near the surface, all you do is just shut the engines off and let it sink. And then it'll just, you know, touch down and it doesn't kick up a lot of stuff. And then you have different motor speeds. And so, you know, if you run in the lower motor speed, you don't really kick up hardly anything at all because you're barely moving. You're just moving right along the top of the surface and everything. And you can actually set your depth so that the vehicle itself will maintain that specific depth automatically, and you just steer left, right, forward, and backwards. So once you get to the desired depth that you're trying to get to, so you can actually set it, and with the sonar readings and everything and stuff, it'll actually, you know, if you want to set just a foot off of the surface of the bottom, it'll actually just set off a foot off the surface of the bottom so that you have that 60-degree field of view in front of you. So as for the detail that you see, you can see quite a bit from a detail aspect. So as long as it's visible to the naked eye, you're more than likely able to find whatever you're trying to look for. So,
all right. We've come to the end of the segment, but thanks. Matt Quinn from Great Lakes Drone Company. How do they find you online?
www.greatlakesdronecompany.com. And we're on Twitter at Great Lakes UAS and Facebook at Great Lakes Drone.
And you're going to be in the morning session at IoT Tech Connect on April 4th at the Troy Marriott. Be from 9 till noon, demonstrating all your technology, or at least showcasing it. Can't really fly it in the room, but I mean, people will be able to eyeball it, and it'll be good, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all about seeing stuff, touching stuff, and we may have a few surprises there for our guests that they'll enjoy. So,
okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Matt Quinn from Great Lakes Drone Company. I want to thank Matt for being with us today and all of our guests today, our old buddy networking pro Terry Bean, Kathleen Norton-Schock from Diva Tech Talk and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, and the segment that I missed.
Yes.
Airfoil's Tim Moynihan and...
I could do it. Onofro. Onofrio.
Okay. All right.
Shouldn't have me pronouncing names anyway, right?
I'm not much better. Rochelle Downs.
Yes, Rochelle.
Oh, yes, right.
Still remind her of that. Yeah, looks.
Yeah,
you know,
she just loves that, let me tell you. All right. Well, we've come to the end of another show, an interesting one today. We will be back next week for you talking about Michigan technology and business at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and that'll be Monday, March 26th. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.